QST, QST. This is Mike, WB6CLZ, acting as temporary net control for the Tech Tuesday Net at 1900 hours local time on the BBARC repeater. 147.33 megahertz with an offset of 600 kilohertz and a PL of 131.8. This net is conducted every Tuesday at 1900 hours, conditions permitting. This repeater is solely owned, operated, and maintained by the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club. We wish to thank the BBARC for the use of the repeater for this net. The purpose of this net is to provide and promote technical knowledge, education, and information of amateur radio, a gateway to spark interest in various aspects of radio communications. Before I begin, is there any emergency or priority traffic? Please call WB6CLZ. That's good. Oh, we got CID. We like that. Hearing none, are there any bulletins or announcements for the net? Please call WB6CLZ.
KF6Q.
There he is. Okay, Tom, you got it. Go ahead.
Hey, thanks, Mike, for doing the preamble. We're running out of time a little bit here. One announcement is this Sunday, the Sunday after Thanksgiving, 1 o'clock fire station, Big Bear Lake. We will be doing ham testing, so if you're ready to upgrade or you know somebody's ready to take that test, come on by Big Bear Lake Fire Station, 1 o'clock Sunday afternoon. Go ahead, Mike.
Well, I don't have the check-in list, so I'm going to kick it back to you for that. Let's see. Well, the topic for this evening is kind of took an interesting article out of December QST. It's called Sunday Drivers, and it's an interesting article about contesting, about how you don't have to be a dyed-in-the-wool contester and have the multi-million-dollar station and antennas and all that to get in and have fun and play around and. I got some experience. So last weekend was the November sweepstakes contest, the ARRL sweepstakes on the HF bands, and I played around, made about 40 some contacts, and had a ball. Had my little this radio. It's the FT817 5 watt QRP radio, and we had a real good time with that. So anyway, I'm gonna kick it back over to you, Tom, and you hopefully have the roster and can take it from now and kick it back to me for the DX report. KS6Q on Tech Tuesday. This is WB6CLZ. Okay, well, maybe Tom's not there, so I'll tread water for a few minutes. I'll go ahead and I'll give the DX report, and then Tom can give the check-ins after that. Hopefully he'll be back and has his hands washed and everything else that he needed to do. Okay, well, let's see. Space Weather is reporting a sunspot number of 101 with a solar flux index of 140 solar units. Down a little bit from what it's been, but... I got on about a half an hour or 45 minutes ago. Weighed around 10 meters was kind of gone, so I went down to 15 and worked Tokyo Station in Tokyo. I worked a really cool station, Z Kilo 2 Victor. In Nui, and he is kind of like on a little de-expedition between Samoa and Tonga in the Pacific. Both of those were 5 watts, and he gave me a 5.9 plus, so band conditions are pretty good on 15. Then I went down to 20, and let's see, we worked a RN0SA in Asiatic Russia. We kicked it up to 100 watts because there was a lot of people calling him, and... came back with a very good 5.9 plus report, good signals. So, yeah, the bands are in good condition, and I think we're going to be a little bit better. We've got some more spots coming around on the sun. Reset. Okay, Tom, if you're there, I'll send it over to you, and you can request and see if anybody else has had any good luck with DX. Otherwise, if I don't hear you come back, I'll make out the call. Back to you, Tom. Are you there?
Yeah, sorry, Mike. I had my battery that doesn't last very long in the radio, and I keyed up, and it died immediately. So appreciate you doing the DX out of deal there. Anyway, real quick here, we'll do the check-ins and then move back to our normal procedures here. So stand by 1 second. Yeah, Mike, you've got the topic there. That's great. We're going to work on that tonight. Let's do the check-ins. So, first on the list, of course, I know you're there, WB6CLZ, Mike.
Oh, of course we're here. Got a good topic tonight. Yep, this is WB6CLZ out in Irwin Lake.
All right, Mike, glad you're out there and glad with the help of the net. Cindy, WB6CIN.
This is WB6CIN. Looking forward to tonight's subject.
Okay, Cindy, glad you're out there with Mike. Appreciate that. How about KA6CIA, George? And nothing heard. How about KE6RJ, Harry?
I'm here. KE6RJ.
Hey, Harry, glad to have you out there. Glad to have you up here in Sugarloaf. How about KE6QI, Nancy?
Hi, good evening. Mike, Tom, and everybody, KE6QI, Sugarloaf.
Appreciate that, Nancy. Glad to have you out there. Let's see here. Next on the list, how about KI6SKN? Chris, are you out there?
Good evening, Tom, and everyone on the net.
Hey, thanks, Chris, for being out there. Appreciate that. Let's see here. Next on the list, I have KJ6HCS, Mike in Fonskin.
Evening, Tom. The net, this is KJ6HCS, Mike Fonskin. No traffic.
Okay, Mike, we'll give a courtesy check-in to K6EKX if he's out there, your dad. Next on the list is KJ6FIL, Mike in Redlands.
Good evening, Tom and the group.
Everybody have a good one. KJ6FIL.
Thanks, Mike, for being down there in Redlands. Well, I bet it's warmer down there than it is here, that's for sure. Next, KJ6KDL, Jim Sugarloaf.
KJ6KDL here with the wifey.
KJ6KDK here.
All right, glad you're both out there. Appreciate that. Hope you're making headway there on your antenna. W6GZI, Frank. Nothing heard. KI6IQA, Kelly.
Good evening. KI6IQA.
Hey, Kelly. Hey, give me a landline after the net. Appreciate it. Next on the list, K6GVL, Ron in Green Valley. Nothing heard. How about N6BOP, Ann in Pomona? Nothing heard. How about AD6PL, Harold?
You mean AD6PL?
Harold, real quick. Missed you a few times out there. Hope everything's okay with you. Are you doing okay?
Yeah, I spent 12 days in the hospital, 20 days in rehab out in Redlands, and then about 8 or 10 days in my sister's house getting my strength built back up, and now I'm working on building it up and staying healthy, I hope. 86 feel.
Okay, Harold, really concerned about you not checking in, and you're always there. Glad to hear that at least you're back on the road to recovery. Definitely glad you could take time out in your day to check in tonight. Appreciate that, buddy. All right, next on my list, K6LCS, Clint, Harupa Valley. I hope hope he's going to join us later. He had a lot of information for our net tonight. Let's see here. W6JLM Judith.
Good evening, Tom and the net. This is W6JLM.
All right, Judith, thanks for checking in. How about W6KMM, Ken?
Good evening, Tom and everyone on the net. This is W6KMM.
Hey, Ken, glad to have you and Judith out there. Appreciate that. And good luck with all your brand-new toys. Santa Claus came in the disguise of UPS. All right, how about K6YNW, Chris?
Good evening, Tom and the net. K6YNW.
All right, Chris, glad to have you out there. I don't know if he's out there this evening. How about W6POO?
Well, hi there, Tom and the net. Good evening. W6POO here with, I'm on the HD, but on the home base antenna. I'm curious how the signal sounds, but good evening.
Well, you're solid in the repeater. Audio's okay. Sounds like there's just a wee little bit of noise in the background, but very, still, you're 5.9. You're 5.9. We'll give you a 5.9 there. All right, how about KD6LN, Bill?
Oh, good evening, Tom and all out there. Tom, we got some third-party traffic here that would appreciate it if you would call on him.
Roger that. Who would that be?
Hey, this is Andrew. Listening in.
All right, Andrew, glad to hear you out there. Let's see, all the way from, was it Long Beach? Or wherever, somewhere down there anyway. And glad to have you with us this evening. Watch out for your that guy sitting next to you there. All righty, and moving on down the list. Let's see, I have AE6CK Victor.
Good evening, Tom and Zanet. Victor Santa Fe Springs. Oh, by the way, do we still have a snow in a Big Bear, over?
Well, Victor and everybody else out there, the resorts have got a lot of snow, and I know that they're doing pretty good with that. I think they're being able to make some of that at night. The rest of it around us is starting to disappear, and I'm not sure about the weather for Thursday. It's starting to look like sunshine instead of rain or snow. So, yeah, come on up. It's beautiful up here.
I will.
All right, Victor, glad to hear you out there from Santa Fe Springs. Appreciate that. Let's see here. I have KA6ROD, Rod.
Good evening, everyone. KA6ROD.
All right, Rod, glad to have you out there from Moon Ridge. And you can almost see the resort from your house. Let's see. AKB6LTY, Christy. Nothing heard. AE6TV, Hans. All right, that kind of concludes the list as I have it, even though I may need to update this list. Anybody else out there like to check in as a guest, please come back to KF6T.
AOG, Stephen, Long Beach, Flatlands.
Steve, glad to have you out there. K9AOG, anybody else out there? Got somebody else there trying to get in, but you're just not quite getting in the repeater. Anybody else?
KG6CRR.
All right, glad to have you with us this evening. That came in pretty solid. Anybody else?
Good evening, Tom, W6AWL.
Art, don't know, I missed you on the list here, by golly, but I have you back here. My mistake. Glad to have you with us, Art. Anybody else? All right, well, that pretty much does it for our list and our guest check-ins. Mike, let's see here. You already did the DX report, so we got that out of the way. Was there anybody else out there, any DX want to compliment that? Any great contacts, please come back. KF6Q.
This is WB6CLZ. Can I have it?
Go ahead, Mike.
I was talking to Ray, and I don't know if he's listening or not. I know you didn't check him in, but I know Ray's been working a little bit at DX. I don't know if he's out there or not, but I'd like to hear what he's doing.
I haven't done much lately, V6 PVZ from Rancho Cucamonga. I haven't done a whole lot, just a little bit on 10 meters, and that's about it.
Well, hello, Ray, I know generally this is your dinner time, so I know sometimes you're out there, sometimes you're not. And how was 10 meters? I know that it's been pretty hot lately, and any really great contacts out there, or just doing the normal DX and just whoever's out there?
For me, it's just in the normal DX and just playing around, just it's open and stuff. It varies. According to what, how early you want to get up to, 6 o'clock is better than 8 o'clock in the morning, at least it seems like right now. But I haven't made anything special like Mike has. Mike's made more special than I have because he's doing QRP. I'm not doing QRP. V6 PVZ.
All righty, well, good deal there, Ray. Appreciate that. And, you know, QRP being less power, but Mike, CLZ, tell me, is that the secret? When you tell people out there they're your QRP, they tend to come back to you a little bit more often than not. Is that true?
Well, Tom, sometimes you get into a pileup, and if you can kind of drag your feet a little bit and say QRP, there's a lot of guys that really will put their ears on and listen for you. So, yeah, I think it does have a little bit more precedence. The flip side of that is some people have a harder time hearing you and really don't. If they're out just working contacts, sometimes they don't like that because they have to really listen for you. But, yeah, I find that it really does help me a lot. Sometimes to break through a pileup, if I'm running 100 watts or something and can't get in, I'll try cranking it down and throwing the QRP in there, and believe it really does help.
Oh, Roger that. We know, of course, you would never cheat and say QRP and still be running the 100 watts. Of course not. That would not be nice. Well, good deal. That's really cool that people really like to work less power, further distance. It's kind of like what ham radio is about. So let's give one more call out there to Clint. I know he had a lot of stuff, told me yesterday for our Tech Tuesday night tonight. Clint, K6LCS, are you with us yet? All right, well, I don't hear him out there. Well, Mike, you want to go ahead and lead off the topic? This is your topic you picked for the evening. Appreciate that. And sounds like the Sunday contester, I guess that would probably be me if I ever did that. I'm not really a contester. Go ahead and take the reins there, Mike. WB6CLZ, this is KF6Q, handing the net over to you.
Hey, Tom. Yeah, let me clarify that, too. You know, a lot of times if I can't break a pileup, I will turn it up to 100 watts, but I always drop the QRP. I'm religious that way. You know, I've got to be. You don't have anything else. You got to be honest. Okay, yeah. This month's QST, there's an article on page 63 in the December QST called Sunday Drivers. And kind of interesting. It's about contesting. And everybody probably knows about Field Day. Field Day is probably the biggest contest that we do in the year. But last weekend, there was a contest called Sweepstakes. And I was using the same rig that I'm on now. It's an 817. It's a Yaesu 817, all band, all mode. But it's only 5 watts. I mean, that's all this turkey will do is 5 watts. And that's if you're running 12 volts. If you're on the batteries, it's 2.5 or less. So you are restricted by this radio. Well, we hooked it up to our base station antenna. And got on Sweepstakes, and basically you know, guys in tech class thinking, well, I can't do that. Well, yeah, 10 meters was one of the bands. It's all of the old HF bands, 10 through 80 meter bands, we call it, without 17 meters, without what they call the WARC bands. So, yeah, basically what you do, you know, I'll reset here. Basically, what you try to do is work as many people as you can. With 5 watts, I worked, gosh, probably a lot of the states of the United States, Alaska, Hawaii, Puerto Rico, a couple of DX. I don't have it here written down, but nothing great, you know, just Japan and stuff that's kind of common. But it was fun. Anyway, to contest, you don't have to have a big expensive rig. You don't have to have the big expensive antenna. I proved that out. I was running on my vertical. It's an R7 vertical on a chain link fence down in Placentia, down in Orange County, and with this little 5-watt radio, and worked a lot of stuff. But, you know, you don't have to get serious into it. You get in and you work as many stations as you can. I think I worked 46, 47 stations all around. It's fun. There's an exchange, they call it. You go to the AWROL website and you type in November sweepstakes or something like that. And basically the exchange is your contact number. Like, say it's the first contact, it would be 1, and then I was QRP, so Q would be the next letter, then your call letter, WB6CLZ, then you say check 64, well, that's the year I was licensed, and then orange is the section, just like on field day. So basically an exchange after you generally don't call CQ with QRP, generally you answer the big stations that call CQ. They want the points, so they're going to be listening for you, and they're going to give you a little bit extra effort to hear you, because they want all of those points. So a basic exchange would be number 5, Q, WB6CLZ, check 64, orange, QSL. Then they come back, QSL, or can you repeat that, or whatever. Very interesting. And, you know, it's something that it's really neat. You can make sure your radio's working. You can get some operating experience. It's a quick, fast-paced type of operation, reset. It's a heck of a lot of fun. You work in a lot of people. I just sat down maybe 10, 15 minutes at a time, and then I'd go back and pay bills or do whatever else I was doing. And I'd get back into it and change bands. I worked a lot on 10 meters, some on 15, some on 20, a little bit on 40 later on in the evening, and just had one heck of a time. I'm going to send it back over to you, Tom, for any comments anybody might have or questions, and I'll run off at the mouth a little more here.
Well, Mike, since the only thing close to that I've done is actually on field day, let's just expand out a little bit here on contesting at all, entirely, and in its individuality and all or none of the above. So, Mike, basically on the contests, when do they start? We have a start and stop time for field day. What is your typical contest start time and end time, and is that Greenwich Mean Time or Pacific Time, or how does that work?
I don't have all the contest rules in front of me, so I didn't really follow that strictly. I just figured if everybody else was there, I was there. I kind of was by the seat of my pants. I believe this one was either Friday night or Saturday morning until Monday, and it's Greenwich time. So, yeah, you've got to have a handle on that. But, you know, different contests have different rules, and you just have to kind of go to the AWRL website or in the back of your QSTs. They always have information about the contests that are coming up, too. For instance, Straight Key Night coming up January 1st. Basically, you run CW. You use a straight key, not a bug, not a keyer, not anything like that, and you just try to have an interesting CUSO with people. Usually on contests, you're out there and you're trying to get as many contacts as you can. Well, Straight Key Night's a little bit different. It's not really a contest, but it is. It's you try to talk to as many people as you can and have nice rewarding QSOs rather than just the quick exchange. So there's different types of contests. I see another one, Kids Day. You try to talk to as many kids you can on the radio. So there's so many of them. Rookie Roundup. I'm looking in the back of QST. There's just a lot of them, and they all have
all have different rules, but they're usually UTC time that they go by.
Okay, roger that. And since we've had a local, it's been in QST there. Rod, if you're still out there, you want to just expand a little bit on straight key and what do you think about it? You know, is it your favorite or not? Do you think it's harder to understand? Any little tidbits you could say about straight key while we just happen to have that out there as one of the contests and one that's coming up here as first part of the year. So, Rod, real quick, are you still out there?
Yes, I am. Well, straight key night is just a fun, thing, you know, for, I consider it something we try to get an old rig out or something that you haven't used for a while in a straight key, Morse code key, and it's just for fun. I'm not a contester, and the only closest thing I've come to a contest is the field day, and I think in this QST it has the results of field day, and I think we did sixth or seventh in our category, which was 7 alpha, I think. But I'm not a contester. I never got into that, but once in a while I will help out, and, you know, if I know what they're looking for, I'll help. I'll answer a few calls. Back to you, KA6ROD.
Well, thanks, Rod. Appreciate that. And then, of course, then we're going to go back over here to Mike. Well, okay, with straight key, that's pretty cool stuff. That's kind of like original ham radio, let's put it that way. And from the basics of the basic. Well, Mike, a couple more questions, and I think this would be a good. I'll field some questions, and maybe you can help answer these, or we'll find somebody else out there with an answer. Now, with contesting, I understand there's kind of like a, I'm going to call it a novice or beginner contest, just for people who have never contested before. Is that true?
They call this the Rookie Roundup, and let's see, it's only the third annual. CW is the mode, it's not sideband, whereas sweepstakes was either sideband or CW. Let's see, you can enter as either a rookie, and it seems like the old timers work the rookies and act as Elmers on their CW. I don't know how that would work. Some people don't take well to criticism, but, you know, it's constructive, I guess. And it says all rookies earn a certificate of participation. You have a free online logger, www.inthelog.com, to log your QSOs. Then you report your scores and helpful tips on the ARRL website. So, yeah, I've never heard of that before until I looked this up here in this QST. And then there's also Kids Day. But back to you, Tom.
Okay, well, you know, one thing, I guess if there's a contest going on, the band is up and running, whichever band you're on. I guess that's kind of a good thing. You know, I've heard this before, and they say the band is open or the band is not open, and sometimes it's open, but there's nobody out there. I've heard that is pretty commonplace to happen, and when you start getting activity out there, they tell two friends, and they tell two friends, next thing you know, you got a QSO party going on. Well, which is really neat. And I guess one thing about getting involved, especially if you're just a beginner or if you want to just get out there and get some contacts, at least you know you're going to be out there, you're going to be in a group, got to be able to take a little criticism. And you say that's just for Morse code. Is that true?
That is correct. It doesn't say you have to use a straight key. As a matter of fact, on their little picture here, it shows a little paddle, a little bug. Not a bug, but a paddle. So, yeah, I guess any kind of CW key, and that's all that you really work on that type of, you know, on that type of a contest. And, yeah, you know, that's the neat thing is, like, a lot of times, not so much anymore because 10 meters is moping most of the time, but a lot of the people will hear me getting on here and calling Chris, KI6SKAN, or Rod will be calling me, or I'll be calling Rod and pointing out some DX stations on 10 meters before it opened up quite a bit. And that's kind of a neat thing to do here on the repeater, too, is let people know that the band's open, and then they can get up there and they can start playing if they have the time. 6 meters is going to start opening up here pretty soon, we hope, which is, you know, techs have the full 6 meter band, and that's a very interesting band. It's got a lot of the prop propagation issues that 10 meters has. So you can do pretty well on 6 meters, and there's a lot of rigs now that come with HF and 6 meters and 2 meters. So kind of interesting. Back to you, Tom.
KF6Q here with WB6CLZ in the group. Tech Tuesday, every Tuesday we can, even on Thanksgiving week. How about that? Thanks, everybody out there, for being out there. I know this is a very busy week for a lot of people. So, like I say, one more time to Harold. Glad to see you're doing better. We did miss you out there, truly. Anyway, well, Mike, okay, so contesting and all this. Now, how is this different from the work all states and work all this and work all countries? That's not really a contest, but it's a contest how? I mean, is that something you just do on your own? I'm doing this all for the new hams out there listening in, and not for, all, of course, all you seasoned veterans out there that have been around for a long time. I hear you get certificates for that. How's that all work? Just tell me what you know.
I'm not a certificate or QSL guy. I mean, I've got QSLs and I've received QSLs and I don't have many certificates. But yeah, you know, on the contest, that's a good way to pick up works all states. That's a good way to pick up some countries and such. I know that Bob, WA6MQF, uses contests sometimes to get states and countries that and continents that he doesn't have. And yeah, and I know Steve and Debbie, gosh, I can't think of his call right on hand, but he's gonna whip me at the Christmas party for that. But yeah, he's the same way, you know. So you can use the contest to better your score for worked all states, worked all continents. You know, a lot of the certificates that are available, DXCC. I just don't have a good handle on that because I've never really been a wallpaper chaser.
Well, I know that a lot of hams that you and I both know, you know, it's always really cool to have the big map, you know, and all the pins in that. And it's amazing. I mean, I am totally amazed that I don't spend enough time on HF. I really wish I have a very full plate with just trying to, you know, get our move up here. But basically, a lot of fun, and I think it's kind of cool hearing about talking to Tasmania on the other side of the world or Nepal. I think Bob worked Nepal on 10 meters. I'm thinking of this place where Indiana Jones, you know, they were at the, you know, right from the movie. That's way over there. It's just amazing. It seems like there's no limit to that. Fantastic. Well, with all that in mind, now, Morse code, we don't need that for our licenses anymore, no matter what class. But it seems like there's still, even more activity. What do you think, Mike? What's your opinion?
There's a lot of activity on CW, and techs also have some CW portions in the lower bands, too. So, I mean, and need not worry about going 5, 6, 7 words a minute, because there's most of the people will slow down and take time with them and, you know, settle down and work them, and it's kind of cool. Well, I know that I've got the old J38 key that I had when I was 10 years old, and I think Rod does too. You know, so you don't need a fancy key and all that stuff. You just need to practice and learn the code and go through the operating manual or Google it, and it'll kind of, or listen. It'll give you the way to operate. They use Q signals, you know, ES instead of and TU for thank you, and a lot of abbreviations that you kind of need to learn. But if you listen, you can pick it up, and you don't have to be a speed demon once you learn the code to get moving. You know, it's fun to get up 17, 18, 20 words a minute, 25 words a minute, and that's a lot of fun when you're hearing words instead of the individual letters. But by golly, you don't have to start there. Everybody's got to start somewhere, and most people will slow down and be very patient with you.
Well, fantastic. Yeah, I have, I'm going to call them Radio Shack keys. 3 of them, as a matter of fact. One I had when I was about 14, 15 years old trying to tackle Morse code. Got to tell you right now, it just was not my friendliest experience. All the rest of the stuff was fine. Morse code just really was kicking my butt back then. do want to get back involved with that. It's one of those, what do you call it, one of those mountains you got to climb. And as long as you don't climb it, it's still sitting up there. So, but anyway, yeah, so those were basic keys. A couple of them I've got. Never used a bug. Probably would be a unique experience. And I'm surprised. We don't have Bob out there. WA6MQF, real quick. Are you listening? I don't hear you out there. Just a quick call. You must not be out there this evening. Well, Mike, with the code and all that good stuff, and it is difficult, quite possibly this next year we can get a group together. I know you're a code veteran, Rod is. We got a lot of people out there. Talked with a good friend of mine, KI6SKN, today, and he's probably got the same problem I do. It's hard to spend the time, especially at our age, a little bit harder to learn that stuff, but I know we could do it. But maybe we can get a little thing going like that. Mike, real quick, well, not real quick, tell me about, I think, oh, I read this, the ARRL from that great station back there in Connecticut actually broadcasts Morse code that you can, if you copy it, and your honesty is the engine here, you can get certified for speed. Is that correct?
Yes, it is, and I'm trying to think if they're qualifying. Yeah, qualifying runs, they call it, and they have, gosh, I think all the way from maybe 5, but 10 words a minute all the way up to 35, I believe. I think that's where they limit it. But, yeah, that's quite a station. I used to, well, I used to, like, even up to about several weeks ago, 17 meters CW has W1AW. It's very easy to copy. Very good code practice. They send text, not just groups, but they send text. So it's pretty easy to copy once you get the code down.
Okay, roger that. And you know what? As we know, we don't have to have it for our license. And it seems like the rookie contest there is all in code. Why are people, not just because it's a mountain and we got to climb it, but what is so important about CW? I mean, what is that one main thing about CW that surpasses everything else of methods of communication?
CW is the simplest. I mean, you can get on the air for $10, but CW is the simplest form of communications, the most reliable form of communications. I'll give you an example without a radio. We used to walk up above the lake out on the trail in Holcomb Valley, and I had a flashlight. And son of a gun, I was up there with my flashlight, and there was a guy in a boat with a flashlight, and we were sending very slow Morse code back and forth. And, you know, just hi and name and that kind of stuff. But, yeah, you don't need a radio. You can do CW with a whistle, with a flashlight, with anything that you can distinguish dots and dashes with.
You know, and I've heard this, and I believe that this is truth, that now, of course, we're talking about you working QRP, low power, 5 watts or whatever watts, very low power. We're talking about working way, way far out there, single sideband. But I understand that through noise and everything else, CW is probably the most reliable, that it will actually surpass the distances you're getting with even less power. What's your input on that?
Yeah, I mean, there's people that run 1 watt. There's people that run 100 milliwatts. The good thing is you can narrow your receiver down to where it's very, very narrow and makes your receiver very sensitive on CW. And, some of the more expensive rigs, what they have what is called an audio peaking filter. And that basically narrows it down to very narrow bandwidth, and you can copy such low power signals at such distances by narrowing the signal out, making your receiver so sensitive that, very efficient that way.
As KSXQ, Tech Tuesday with WB6CLZ in the group, every Tuesday we can. on the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club repeater. Well, all right, so we can really run less power. I guess I'm thinking, like, if you had emergency station setups and stuff like that, kind of cool. I guess that's why CW is probably still in there, one of the most reliable forms of communication. We're going to give a little break here of anybody out there listening to throw to Mike or myself or any comments and questions. Please come back to KF6Q and Tech Tuesday. Well, Mike, you either put him to sleep or we got him baffled again. Hey, anybody out there, please break in any time, though, any questions or suggestions. Well, that's pretty cool. So we have a lot of different things we can do with ham radio, with contesting, kind of neat, mostly weekend stuff. And it's always on a weekend, I guess. Good stuff there. So hopefully, you know, if you have the weekend off, if you don't, then I guess that's not a good thing. Now, one other thing, Mike, you're a DXer and you do all this stuff. Let's talk a little bit about the bands real quick. Some bands are good during the day, some are not. And are all bands good at night? When is the best time?
Real quick, there was somebody I think was trying to break in there, Tom. Let them have their say, and then I'll take that and run with it. Anybody else had a comment in there? It's WB6CLZ with KF6Q.
WB6PL.
Harold, go ahead.
Yeah, just let you know that you never know where you get a CQ call from. A friend of mine was working field day at Martha McLean Park over here in Riverside. He's a high-speed CW op. He worked for the Merchant Marine until he retired. And he was working CW over there on the, in a tent, and all of a sudden the train went through, and the train driver on his whistle on his horn blasted out CQ, CQ as he went by. That pretty much made their day over there, 86PL.
Roger that. That's good stuff there. And I know that before I ever got involved with ham radio itself, I'm going to think way back, oh my gosh, I think I was like 12 years old. Mike, we're talking about way you and me back, way back days, right? Anyway, my dad, who was in the Navy, basically, you know, just a couple things that always stuck in his head, the SOS and the CQ. And of all that, those are four letters I will never forget. I learned them when I was 12 years old. And, of course, I've expanded on that, just don't have the whole alphabet yet. And it's like anything else, like a foreign language. You can learn it. But if you don't use it, it's going to go away. I know I had 4 years of Spanish, cannot speak Spanish very well at all, had 2 years of German. I know a few Germans, good friends of mine, but you just have to use the language, and that's what CW is. It's a language. Way back from, what is it, back Morse code, Samuel Morse, telegraph, way back in the West, so. Anyway, Mike, good deal there, and anything else to add?
Yeah, you forgot victory. World War II, that was a big one, too. Yeah, and you had mentioned the night bands and day bands. Well, generally, your lower frequencies, like 160 meters, 80 meters, 40 meters, and sometimes 20 meters are your nighttime bands. They work pretty well at nighttime. It also depends on what where you're at with sunspots and where in the sunspot cycle you're at. Like right now, 160 is not doing very well. 80 is kind of marginal sometimes. But when we have less sunspots, it seems like they do pretty well. But your 20 meters, your 17 meters, your 12 meters, 10 meters, sometimes 6 meters are daytime bands. And usually, the higher in frequency, the better the signals, what we call the maximum usable frequency, MUF,
the closer you are to the MUF on the daytime bands, the better the signals. A lot of these people that I'm working with 5 watts, and I've worked QRP people with 5 watts, the signals will be just as good as they are here on the repeater, just as clear, perfect as you hear Tom and I, except it's sideband, not FM, a little bit no or bandwidth. Yeah, the signals will be really good. You can't imagine. I worked Australia and New Zealand where they were running 5 or 10 watts, and it's just like here on the repeater. So, yeah, the closer to the maximum usable frequency, generally the better the signals. Back to you, Tom.
Okay, that's pretty cool information there. Now, this is kind of like just a general question out there, Mike, fending for all the people out there listening. Let's say I have a friend of mine who's back in Kentucky or back on the East Coast or something like that. We've been talking about talking to other countries halfway around the world, not knowing which direction the doggone radio waves are going, but all over the world. How reliable, pick a band, say 20 meters or 17 meters or whatever, how reliable is, let's say I have a buddy out there in Cleveland, Ohio, or a buddy out there in Kentucky, which is not really DX, it's kind of local. What would you say if we're both running about 100 watts with an average antenna, chances of our hooking up to, say, on a set schedule?
I would say most of the time on 20 meters, most of the time on 17 meters, sometimes on 15, yeah, you could probably work them anytime after sunrise or, you know, in here, and anytime during the day or night. It's probably pretty reliable as long as it's not after about this time at night on this type of the cycle. But, yeah, pretty darn reliable.
A good deal. I know that's one thing that really was kind of like the spark of interest. Not an Elmer per se, but good friends of my dad's, one of his working associates back in Cleveland, Ohio. His sons were two sons, both ham radio operators. Really would like to try to trace them down. I'm sure they're still around. They actually were in Big Bear here. They came out to the West Coast, talking back in the 1960s era. Late 1950s, maybe I'm a little bit ahead of myself. Actually back in the 1950s. Avid ham operators, know their last name, not sure about the first name, got to really do some research there. It'd be really, really cool to look them up. But anyway, and their thing was, actually this is back in the days, you know, that keeping a log, the station log all the time, all the P's and Q's, dot the I's, cross the T's, fantastic stuff, but really interesting out there. This is probably one of the greatest hobbies. So anyways, we're getting close to closing down the net. Mike, anything else to add out there? Appreciate all the help out there this evening. Just kind of touching around with contesting and CW stuff. Always a lot of fun and neat stuff to do. Mike, anything else to add? Go ahead.
Yeah, I think I better qualify you something you said. I don't consider myself a DXer. I mean, I don't have all the fancy beam antennas and this and that. I mean, Lanny and the BBARC, Bob and the BBARC, Greg, you know, those guys are DXers. They've got the stuff. I've got a radio that'll do it, but my antennas are just kind of marginal. I don't have the big tri-band beams and the step IRs and all the fancy stuff. I just enjoy seeing how far I can talk with this little power. I guess you could call me a DXer because it gives me a thrill to do that. Gosh, I talk to somebody far away and it's like, oh, my heart goes better. It's just kind of neat, but I don't think of myself as a DXer. Okay, Tom, back to you. Yeah, good net tonight. Actually, something I knew a little bit about. Back to you.
KF6Q with WB6CLZ and the group on Tech Tuesday, every Tuesday we can. Well, Mike, now hold the phone here. Now, just hold up a second. I don't think you need a fancy antenna and tower and all that to be a DXer. I know KI6SKN, I know yourself, I know myself, a lot of people out there with basic wire antennas. Nothing really expensive there. No out-of-pocket expenses. And Mike, what do you call DX? I mean, haven't you talked to Russia? I think. And then, you know, I mean, what's the furthest way you've talked with what you have? And not talk. I don't think that radio you have, you're still running low power, so I don't think it really matters. What do you think? What's the furthest way you've talked?
Well, Asiatic Russia today, but that's not too much farther from Japan, so that's not very far. I don't know. Yeah, I mean, all the way around the world. So, yeah, if that's how you want to qualify it, DX, I think of these guys with the big kilowatts and their step IRs up at 100 feet and all that. But, yeah, I know Chris has got the map with all of the little pins in it, and he's you can see where he's worked. So, yeah, I'll take it, but... I just don't consider myself one of those, have the whole room full of fancy radios and amplifiers and stuff. I guess I'm a bare bones DXer. I'll stay with that. Back to you, Tom.
Now, don't get me wrong. I have a lot of respect for these people that have invested a lot of money. You got a lot of good gear, great gear, good collections going with antique. Well, I'm not going to say antique, totally antique, but just say glow-in-the-dark radios. Great stuff, and I think that's fantastic. But anybody out there listening in with a tech license, and you're thinking like, well, you know what, I'd like to get a general class and get out there and do all this stuff, but by golly, I don't have all that money. Well, that's, I think, the point I'm trying to make. And, Mike, you've made that point, that... basically, with almost nothing dollar-wise out there for an antenna, you pick up an old HF rig, nothing fantastic, doesn't take a lot of power, doesn't take all that. And if you're using a key, then you got to learn Morse code. But if you're going to use a single sideband radio, get an old radio, something that works, yeah, you can get on there in HF for a real low amount of money, if anything at all. Depending where you get your stuff. So we want to encourage people to don't put a big dollar price tag on ham radio. Get out there pretty cheap. I think we've done that before, but Mike, you're proof that low power, you can rule the world.
You're 100% right, Tom. I've got to give it to you on that. You win. It's true. And there are rigs that you can pick up, like at yard sales and this and that. And, eBay. I've got a backup radio that I use in the truck to check in on Saturdays when we're working. And it's an ICOM 728. I think you can pick one of those up for $250 if somebody overpays for it. But, yeah, not a lot of money. And, you can. That's a 100-watt radio. And... all you need is a wire antenna. Go down to Home Depot, buy yourself some wire like I did here for the loop, put it up, and, like Chris has, basically the same thing. He's got his ZS6. They're all pretty simple antennas, and you are 100% right. I don't know. I just kind of I try to simplify things as much as I can. Back to you, Tom.
Well, I'm never 100% right. The only thing I'm 100% right is when I say yes, dear. That's how I get my last word in on every argument, right? No, Mike, I just want to, it's very important because, if you pick up any magazine, you look at ham radio stuff, and it's like, oh, my goodness, I do not have that money. Never will. So, but that's just not it. And there's a lot of stuff out there, a lot of good deals to be had, and I'll guarantee you that the general test, a little studying, if you're already a tech, you're out there listening, or if you're not a tech yet, if you're on a scanner and you're listening, do the tech, study for the general at the same time. A lot of similar questions, good to take them both at the same time, if you can. If not, take your time, do the general. It's not as hard as you think, and a little effort there, and then doesn't take a big wallet to get on the air. So, and let me reset here real quick. Thing here too we're going to do. Mike, I think I talked to you about it, talked to Chris, a couple other, another Mike ACS out there. through a lot of parts salvage stuff. Yes, you can. You are legally able to, as a licensed ham, build your own equipment. Wait a minute. Wait. Whoa. We'll back up. Yes. Well, how do you do that? Well, there's a lot of stuff out there that's really easy to build. But we're going to throw something together, just CW of practice here in the Valley. Little simple send, receive thing, QRP, perfectly legal, not a problem. We're not selling these things. We're just going to build them, use them. And actually, by the FCC regs, we can do that. So, Mike, anything else to add with that? Boy, I'm going to hand this one to you.
That sounds good. That piqued my interest. Yeah, even if we didn't build anything from salvage parts, there's a lot of kits that are very, very inexpensive. That some of these clubs make the circuit boards and sell the parts, and much less than $100, you can put together a little single band QRP transceiver. So, yeah, that got me going.
YNW.
Yes, Chris, go ahead.
Yep. We're not talking about $100 here, but the Elcraft K2 and K3 both come in kits. You save about $200. When it comes to labor, you're not saving anything, but putting together, you know what it's in at the K6YW.
Very good point there, Chris. I think Mike CLZ there actually purchased one assembled. But yeah, Elcraft actually. Excellent. Used to have a lot of old stuff here in the way back days. Heat kit. I know Rod ITC has an excellent collection going, and it's great. It's fantastic to be able to have stuff from that back in the day was available as a kit. It was just a normal thing. There's actually parts available out there. There's a little bit of a thing we're going to do here. We're going to work on this next year, going into 2012, in conjunction with the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club, maybe on the tech hour before the club meetings. We're going to do a lot of hands-on stuff there, real simple stuff, show how easy this is. I'm a builder from, my gosh, 12 years old and up, love this stuff, got away from radio for a little while, back into it really, I love it, it's great, it's fantastic. Like they say, what is that, Mike? When all else fails, what is it?
It yourself. I don't know, Tom, you got me on that one. I will make a comment about Elcraft. That company is the best company I've ever dealt with. So, the K3 is a solderless kit. You just put it together, but boy, you better have some good manual dexterity. Back to you, Tom.
Ham radio will be the last means of communication standing. Shame on you, Mike.
Thanks, Kelly. Appreciate that. Yes, when all else fails, ham radio prevails. It's a rhyme. It's a standard. And I'll guarantee you, cell phones will go away, the internet will go away, and ham radio will still be there. So, anyway, all right. Well, we're going to close the net down here. I know there's a good net coming up on Keller Rescue Net. Usually comes about 8 o'clock, so we don't want to interfere with them. Anybody else out there, anything to add or anything for questions, please come back to KF6Q.
SKM.
Yes, Chris, go ahead.
Yeah, Tom, let me hit the speaker on standby. Okay, no more speaker. I'm out of the speaker for my PC. Question. Okay, now to build these small little low-powered CW units, if you were to go buy the parts, which, of course, that's probably not going to happen, so like that, you got to start using up some parts from some of those TVs you've been collecting up. How much do you think it would cost to make this little CW operator, little transmitter receiver?
Well, I'm gonna probably just bypass the cost of the key. I have no idea what they would be. I know Radio Shack used to have them. They probably don't carry those anymore, but same key still out there, a little normal key like you had there. I've got like a couple of the same. The only reason I have a couple is I lost one, so I bought another. Bad excuse. Well, I'm going to say probably in the realm of maybe $10-$20. And we already looked at the case we're going to put it in. He had some great cigar boxes there. My grandpa used to build stuff in cigar boxes. He was not a ham, but he was a little electronics kind of guy, builder. And, you know, $10-$20 worth of parts, you know, is a shot from the hip.
All right. Yeah, I just wanted to get that info out there, and I was kind of interested myself because I really didn't have any idea. Very good. Thank you, Tom. KI6SKN.
ROD.
Yeah, Rod, go ahead. And I just want to clarify that, too, with that kind of dollars. We're talking about basic CW, little sender, little, not even a, maybe even a speaker, a little audio unit thing or whatever, but real basic stuff, real low power. Go ahead, Rod.
I was just going to say that 2 years ago I bought, I think it was a Tentec, T-E-N-T-E-C. They make kits. They make transceiver kits. And I'm trying to pull up the internet right now. I'm pretty sure it was very cheap. And it's just for one band. You pick the band you want to build. They send you the complete kit, and it's beautiful. And it took me a couple of weeks of time to put it together. And if I can look it up, I'll tell you how much it is. But it wasn't expensive at all. It was a transceiver, and it was a CW transceiver. And I'm pretty sure it was Tentec.
That's sealed it.
Okay, go ahead. I doubled with somebody there. Yeah, I think, Rod, go ahead and look that up. And I think that's even better yet. Like I say, from salvaged parts, I have, you know, anybody with an old TV, I know this is, I'm not going to just say everybody go out there and start tearing apart your TVs. There are enough parts in an old TV set, and not that old, to basically throw together a complete transceiver, but a little technical knowledge, not a lot. We're going to go over that this next year. We didn't do a lot with our Tech Tuesday workshops this year, unfortunately. We've had very busy schedules, but looking forward to 2012. And I think it's going to be great. Rod, did that come up yet?
No, I just looked over at my modem, and it's my internet's recovering from something like cable. But I'll look it up. It's coming back right now, so I'll look it up in a couple minutes. KA6ROD.
KED6PO.
Yeah, go ahead, Harold. And Rod, we'll just extend Tech Tuesday on a little bit here, and maybe they can just run the roster over there at SurvivalNet. Anyway, go ahead, Harold.
Yeah, Tentec makes some nice kits, but Ramsey has a line of CW kits also. I think they also have some sideband kits, transceivers. They may be a little bit high, but they're first quality AD6PO.
You know, and let's not forget, you know, I can always go out there and do a little shopping on eBay. You never know, you might find something out there, somebody getting rid of something. Gotta commend one of our listeners out there who's not with us this evening, WA6MQF, Bob, up here in Big Bear, sometimes in Downey, and radio engineer. The gentleman has had the knack, because of his knowledge of being able to pick up non-working radios, basically listed as for parts from eBay. Well, they're parts to one person, and for Bob, they were, I'm going to fix it. And he has, and he's got a great collection going, and it takes a little time. Great if you have the knowledge. You have to have that knowledge and skill. You can always work up to that. If you don't have it, something that you can always learn, so with a good Elmer. So, anyway, Rod, one more chance. Well, we'll give you lots of chances. Anyway, any more information, KF6Q?
No, I'm giving up on my internet, but what I was going to say is if you could get on the air with anybody's radio, borrow a radio, within about 5 months, I had 3 transceivers given to me for free. One of them was a completely perfect working TS-520, I think it was. So if you can get on the air or on the internet, there's places to find stuff where people are happy to give you something to get you going. I've given up on the internet. I can see that all I have is a power light and the other 5 lights are out. K6ROD.
Tom.
Quick comment.
Okay, we got 2 comments in there. We'll take the first one, I think, was Mike, and then we had somebody in the background. We'll take you second. Go ahead, Mike.
I think the other one's George. Real quick, I'm looking at the MFJ site, and it's not $100, but for $210, they've got 15, 17, 20, 30, and 40-meter CW transceiver kits that aren't too bad, and I haven't heard anything bad about them. Yeah, I think it was George in there. Back to you, Tom.
Okay, roger that. Yeah, other station, go ahead.
Actually, it's Chip, W6COO. I'm relearning code. I knew it back in the 60s, but I've got a hold of some CDs and not giving any undue promotion to who actually does the CDs. But you can find these CDs, these programs, and put them on the computer, put them on the iPod, and listen to them. And it's very simple. It gives you the first couple of letters, and then runs them through, then adds a letter, then adds a letter, does a little random run, gives you a few words, and within a very short period of time, you get it, and it makes it much easier than perhaps listening. Then I listen to it on the old 520S I heard somebody talking about. I have a 40-year-old rig. It cost me $175 or $200 on eBay, and just, you know, read the manual. I got it just before I got my tech license back in, say, January, last January, and so it hasn't been a very expensive investment to come back on the air. Enjoyed the evening tremendously. Back to you, W6POO, listening.
Well, Chip, appreciate all that information, you know, and one thing we want to make clear here with Tech Tuesday, Tech Tuesday is all about sharing information, bringing stuff out there to everybody, trying to help promote the hobby. And I know that I myself did not have an Elmer. Probably if I did, I might have learned the code easier. It's really a struggle if you're out there by yourself working on this stuff. So feel free at any time. And I think, Mike, CLZ, you'll agree to this. You can reach either one of us through an email. Contact will help anybody out there, or direct you, or find somebody. There's just a lot we don't know. Find somebody else who does know it. Answer your questions, help you if you're a newcomer to ham radio. You know, Chip, this is not directed to you. This is just directed to anybody out there who's working on stuff and trying to get to that point. So that's what it's all about. Hams helping hams. Or was it hands helping hands? I don't know. Anyway, Mike, so Tentec, Ramsey, very good point there. Very good kits. Excellent kits. Thanks, Harold. Appreciate that. They have good stuff. And bare parts and everything like that. Don't know if I want to spend $200, but I do want to spend $20. I'm going to hand it back over to Mike. Let him comment.
Yeah, I can understand that. 20 is a lot better than 200. No, I was just pointing out that, yeah, MFJ has them for that price. But, yeah, I know that can be beat. There's even in this QSD, let's see, it's a software-defined QRP transceiver and this and that. So laptop QRP station. So there's all kinds of neat stuff that you can do with very, very little money. And that is true. If anybody has issues, wants to learn CW or something, I can send them programs or whatever. WB6CLZ at ARRL.net and same with Tom and his call, ARRL.net. So back to you, Tom.
And, KF6Q, that's Kilo Foxtrot 6 Quebec at ARRL.net. Send me an email, not a problem. You know, you know, one thing about all this with the ham radios, so you used to be able to find electronic parts at any place. They were everywhere. Tube testers were at every Save-On's or Thrifty drugstore. I don't even think they're even around anymore. Where'd the ice cream go they used to have? It was so great. Oh, anyway, okay, I'm getting sidetracked. Sorry about that. But, yeah, a lot of this stuff with ham radio and stuff out there, yes, spend a lot of money, yes, a lot of stuff out there. You'd be surprised. I'm the salvage king. Well, maybe not the king, but, you know, pretty high up in the court there under the king. But, anyway, there's a lot of stuff out there you can do. The whole idea is think outside the box. When you start doing that, all of a sudden things that didn't seem able to be done before can be done. Well, anyway, we do have to wrap up this net sooner or later. Anybody out there with any questions or suggestions? We've kept it here till 8:10. We're still going strong. Anybody else out there with any questions before we close?
KJ6KDO.
Jim, my good buddy here in Sugarloaf, go ahead.
Well, I was listening for the internet to come up on the other person's site. I checked on mine, and there are two websites that you can check out other than Elecraft, and it's QRPKits.com, Hendrix QRP Kits, and QRPTransceiver.com. And those kits, depending on what you buy, looks like you're into the just over $100 to get into 40 meters at 3.5 to 5 watts. And then by the time you add the case and the knobs, it looks like somewhere in the 200 to 250 range. So if you want it to look pretty and buy it with all the parts so you can put it together yourself, you're going to pay a little bit. But those are some sites to look at and start. And also a reminder that those of you who get QST Magazine, February 2011 edition has a 40-meter receiver kit article, and the April has the 40-meter receiver kit article to go with it.
Oh, Jim, that's excellent information there. And I know there's a lot of stuff out there on the internet, too. And like I said, this is all about just getting started on HF. Yes, you can spend lots of money, but Tech Tuesday is about not spending the money. You know, so anyway, anybody else out there, any comments or suggestions before we close this net?
Okay, Ann.
Chris, go ahead. KI6SKN. This is KF6Q net control.
Yeah, Tom, I think it'd be a great idea if we could get together a bunch of us at somebody's garage or something and, go ahead and somebody, you know, probably you, you and Mike, make a little schematic of what we need, and we'll just put it in the 10-meter band or somewhere down there, and whoever wants to make one, you know, the tech people and the general people and everybody can learn CW together at the same time. We can fumble our way through it. I think that would be great. KI6SKN.
Oh, Chris, that's exactly what I'd love to do. And depending on our weather, this is getting close to the end of November, December. Might have a mild winter. Mike's WB6CLZ said that from his great guru in the sky someplace up there in the helicopter, I guess. Anyway, that would be good. I'd really like to get together with that, too, and literally cannibalize a TV set that's non-working and just explain to a lot of people out there basically all the goodies inside. You'd be amazed what's in there, especially some of the newer ones. Good stuff in there. Anyway, some of it's like taking apart a Ferrari. Lots of good stuff. But anyway, yeah, Mike, if you're out there listening, and I know you are, we'll get together like that. I know we got a lot of listeners who want to do this, and we got a few people out there working on Yagis. We got a lot of stuff to do, so we're going to have a full plate, I think, going into 2012. A lot of stuff to do. Anybody else out there, any comments or questions or suggestions, please come back. KO6Q. All right. Well, in closing here, I do appreciate everybody being out there, and we'll hang out here on the net, as we always do, on the repeater. Michael, thank you very much again for starting the net off. We're running a little bit late going over some of the protocol, what we're going to do next year with my good neighbors here. So, QST, QST, QST. This is Tom Fry, KO6Q, Next Control, Tech Tuesday. Closing the net at 2,900 hours and 14 minutes. I do appreciate everybody's participation tonight. Please come back again next Tuesday. We'll do it again. We'll have another cool topic. So you guys all take care. Have a good Thanksgiving. And thanks once again for joining us. This is KF6Q returning the repeater to normal use, whatever that could be. But we'll stand by.